Some hot teams out there right now. We're getting to the good part of Major League Baseball. Our guy Buster Olney has joined us now.
And he does so each week, courtesy of our friends at ATIX, 822-7382, 822-7382. All your college football tickets coming up, the Major League tickets, concert tickets, all that at ATIX, AAATIX.
Playoff tickets for the Braves.
That's right. Buster is with us. Hello, Buster. How are you?
What's going on, guys? You're right. You know, coming out of the trade deadline, it felt like that we had, you know, super teams in baseball. You know, the strongest teams got better. The Yankees adding, the Astros adding, the Dodgers adding, maybe not as much. You know, the Mets doing some incremental things. And then the question is, can some of the other teams build in? You guys were talking about the Dodgers, for example. since June 21st, guys, they've got a run differential of plus 122. They're 37-8. That's over a course of a full season. That pace would be a 133 win pace. That's how well they're playing. And they're beating teams during that time by almost an average of 3 runs per game. I mean, this is baseball. You don't do that. You're not beating teams an average of 3 runs per game over that long a stretch.
It's funny you brought up run differential because it's not a stat we talk a ton about, but I had looked at that with the Dodgers and was going to ask you, out of curiosity, I looked it up, 411 plus 411, the 39 Yankees is the record. Have you done the math? Can they approach that record?
I don't think they're quite there yet, you know, but it's interesting. They're not right now currently. If you look at their trajectory over the course of the full season, they're not there yet. But the way they've been playing offensively since, you know, the end of June, they might actually begin to flirt with that number, which would be staggering. We had the Dodgers and the Padres on Sunday Night Baseball last week, and I asked Dave Roberts, okay, how did you guys go from having a really good offense to now having this offense, which is just, you're just blowing people away? And he talked about how he felt like that his players had gotten into team-first offense, hitters willing to take a walk, taking the ball the other way, you know, grinding out tough at-bats instead of just standing at the plate and trying to jack home runs. He feels like that the lineup is all is integrated and intertwined, and the hitters, you know, willing to work for each other. And specifically, I think within that lineup, we're starting to see Max Muncy, who's been really has struggled all year. You know, he has begun to bounce back. On Sunday night, Cody Bellinger hit 2 opposite field home runs. And let's face it, when you got Mookie Betts and Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman going 1-2-3 with the nasty at-bats that they have, man, that they clearly are wearing down opposing pitchers.
You know, I was at a restaurant after I played golf yesterday, and they had the Braves game on. We were watching the Braves. But on the ticker, Aaron Judge hits his 45th home run. And I told the guys at the table, I was like, God, I missed the day when that number was at 61 or the low 60s. We'd be watching every night right now Judge at bats if he was at 45 at this point. It's still an impressive number, but I missed that chase for those low 60s home run titles like that.
I think that there still will be a lot of attention as we get closer. You know, maybe it's not the way that it was back in 98 and 2001, you know, McGuire, Sosa. I mean, let's face it, the steroid era changed the way we look at a lot of numbers. But I do think, especially, let's face it, it's a New York player, so he's going to get more attention. As we get closer, I would not be surprised if, you know, we do a lot more. I know this is that when I, you know, do something on SportsCenter every day, or I do something on the show Get Up, they start with questions about Aaron Judge. Like, they feel like that moves the needle a little bit. And so I think the industry will lock in on him. And I got to tell you, and my Aaron Judge chapter on the show this morning was, why is anybody pitching to him? It's mind-boggling. In 2001, when Bonds hit his 73 home runs, guys, he had 77 intentional walks. There are situations now when I'm watching the Yankees and Judge, and I'm like, what would be the point of pitching to him now? Guys, over the last 21 games, he's got 14 home runs. He's hitting almost .450. He's got a slugging percentage over 1,000. So when he comes up in the seventh inning yesterday against the Mariners, they're down 2-1. They're 2 outs. There's nobody on base. Anthony Rizzo, who's been out for a week, is on deck. I'm sitting there going, what? You're going to walk him, right? Nope. They pitch to him. Boom. Home run number 45. I don't get it. And I think it's one of those points in modern analytics, because we've seen the number of intentional walks go down to a record low, that they just feel like, well, you don't intentionally walk hitters. They'll come back and beat you over. No, in this moment, I'm shocked at how they're pitching to Aaron Judge.
I know he's got a contract situation coming up. How many fan bases could realistically hope to one day be cheering for Aaron Judge? Will he stay with the Yankees or does he move around?
Boy, and you know, it really comes down to whether or not an owner of another team is inspired to make a run at him the way that Artie Moreno of the Angels was when he went after Albert Pujols. That, to me, is the comp. You guys remember when Albert Pujols became a free agent, we all assumed that he probably would wind up back with the Cardinals. But that's not how it worked out, because Artie Moreno woke up one day in the middle of December and said, I want that guy. And within 48 hours, that was the guy they're going after. Look, he would make a lot of sense for the San Francisco Giants. He would make a lot of sense for the Red Sox, for all the criticism they're taking and people, you know, locked in and in Red Sox Nation and really ripping the team for not doing enough. He might fit the Mets. I don't know if another team is going to jump in. I do believe this. If another team jumps in with a $300 million plus offer, I think he's going to leave the Yankees. I don't think they're going to chase him financially and increase their offer significantly over the 213 they put up in April.
ESPN's Buster Olney with us on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. ATIX brings you Buster each week, AAATIX.com, 822-7382 for all your college football, Major League Baseball, concert tickets. Go to ATIX, great local guys. When Dunaway mentioned the Barry Bonds home run, or just the home run chase, I thought of Barry Bonds, and I thought of your late colleague Pedro Gomez, the poor guy. He had to follow Barry everywhere when he was chasing down that Henry Aaron homer. And I know it's a great job, but I always feel sorry for Pedro. I mean, it was just...
Yeah, one day it was a day off today for the Giants. Barry got his car washed right over here.
Poor Pedro, Buster. That guy had to follow Barry everywhere.
I was in the meeting when they assigned him that, and I'll never forget it. Like, there was a gasp in the room, and then we were like, well, you know what? With everything going on with Barry... With all the attention, the Balco investigation, et cetera, it was worthwhile to do that. But I will tell you, over time, Pedro, you know, he went into it, I think, feeling like, okay, we can work this and maybe I'll work out a rapport with him. And then after a while, he got very calloused, which I don't blame him, because he's trying to extricate details from Barry, who, as you guys know, just got more and more angry about the coverage as he went along.
Yeah. The Braves and Mets series did not go the way the Braves fans wanted it to. 4-1 Mets. Now, look, it's a long time to postseason baseball. A lot of things can change. Is there anything the Braves fans should be nervous about coming out of that series, or was it just a normal regular season series to you?
Well, if you're a Braves fan, then I think absolutely you come out realizing this is a different Mets team than what we've seen in the past, which really shouldn't be a surprise, because you got a new manager in Buck Showalter. You have a new clubhouse culture, Max Scherzer. You have a new lineup, a group of guys who put the ball in play, Mark Canna, Starling Marte, and Edwin Diaz. Good Lord. He's having arguably the greatest season for any closer. I would say that if you're the Braves, now, to get punched in the mouth the way that they did, this is the good time for that, like in August, because then you can, I think the players can understand as they move forward, okay, well, that's the standard we're chasing now. We might have the rings, but we have a new standard in front of us. And in fact, Spencer Strider, I'm sure you guys talked about it after that series, where he mentioned, well, he used the word lucky to talk about the Mets and putting balls in play and having a high average. And, the fact that the Braves have championship. Well, Spencer wasn't part of that. And it looks like a different team. And I do wonder if what happened in Queens over the weekend, led to the promotion of Vaughn Grisham for that game last night, where the Braves feel like, okay, we're going to have to make sure that we're covered in all of our spots. We don't know for sure if Ozzie Albee's going to come back seamlessly, and we want to see if this kid can help us. He certainly did in his first game last night.
And for Braves fans who are watching, Vaughn Grissom, who came up last night, if you missed the game, the two-run home run, stole a base, youngest ever to steal, and it's been a while since someone has stole a base, hit a home run in the same game. But to go straight from Double A to your major league debut, that's not that common, is it? We got a Double A affiliate here. It happens in September, but right now, is that a common thing?
It's not common, but interestingly, it's becoming common within the Braves organization. You know, Michael Harris II, that's the same, path that he took. And, you know, I love the promotion. I love the timing of it because it allows the Braves, you know, a month, 6 weeks to look at him and say, is he ready? And I got to say, I don't know what numbers you guys look at when you read about an offensive prospect, a position player. First thing I go to is on base percentage, because if you get a player who doesn't strike out much, who draws walks, then you feel like, okay, this guy has command of the strike zone. That's what jumps out about Grissom in the minor leagues. Like, he had command of the strike zone, and he's yet another guy drafted by Dana Brown. So Dana Brown, in his work for the Braves, he found Michael Harris II. Other teams were looking at him as being a pitcher. Dana Brown was locked in on, look, I think he needs to be a center fielder. He locked in on Spencer Strider in that 5-round draft in the COVID year. And he was the guy, and talking, I spoke with Alex Anthopoulos yesterday, who locked in on him for round 11 in 2019. You get Grissom, who looks like he could be a legitimate prospect to help this team.
This is not going to shock you. You and I look at different stats when we're looking at prospects. I look at yards after contact. Usually with
I went to Vanderbilt. I don't look at yards after contact, you know?
73-39 for the Mets, but Judge is hitting 45 home runs. I know it's really a Yankees town, but are they moving the needle in the Big Apple at all? I mean, that's an unbelievable season for the Mets.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, it's very interesting. Dick Cone, Sunday Night Baseball with us, he pitched for both teams, as you know. He said to us in a call earlier this year that at its heart, when you get all the forces involved, New York is really a National League town. You know, you had the Giants, you had the Dodgers, you had, yes, the Yankees, but a lot of the former Giants and Dodger fans shifted over the Mets. And in the mid-80s, the excitement around that team that lasts even till today told you about the potential of how New York could become a Mets town. And it may be that by the end of the year, because the Yankees are having some struggles with their pitching.
Okay, Buster, so the Field of Dreams game is tonight, Cubs-Reds, not the sexiest matchup in the world. Frank Thomas said there will not be another one next year. Will this be a continuing event? Does Major League Baseball like this?
I know they like it. In fact, I had a conversation with someone last week because I regretted that I haven't been to a Field of Dreams games, given the fact that I grew up on a dairy farm. I've always wanted to go to that, you know, and I could do the report from the top of a John Deere and feel very comfortable, or maybe from the cornfield. But I don't know. I mean, it was interesting. I saw that comment by Frank, and I wondered what he knows that I didn't, because I got to tell you, the person I talked to last week said something very different to me. So I hope they continue it. I think it's a cool event. Visually, there's nothing better.
Yeah, it is phenomenal. Fox does a really good job of that. But ESPN will have the Sunday night game. You remember how we used to give Buster grief? It was always the Yankees Red Sox. Guess where they are Sunday night?
Yankees Red Sox.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like we've had as much Yankees Red Sox, but that's where they are Sunday night. So that'll be fun, Buster. Yankees Red Sox.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm driving up to Boston tomorrow, but I appreciate it.
6 o'clock, Sunday night, ESPN, Yankees, Red Sox. Buster on vacation next week, so we'll see you in a couple of weeks, Buster. Thank you. Enjoy your vacation.
Absolutely. See you guys.
All right, buddy. Take care. Buster Olney with us from ESPN, and he is on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. Buster,
good luck parking the car.
So good.
Parking the car. Where am I going to park the car?
I feel like I'm in The Departed.
At Fenway. Back.
Buster with us, courtesy of ATIX. AAATIX.com. 822-7382 for all your tickets there at ATIX.